The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the actual meaning of the word gospel in the New Testament? Does it have a precise meaning? Let's have a discussion about the word gospel on Grace in Focus. So glad you've joined us today, friend. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. where you can read and subscribe to our daily blog. You can also find out about our national conference and our regional conferences. That's at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, Bob, today we have a question from RH here, and he's been confused about this. He says, I know that the only saving message is in John 11:25-27. The message of life by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. And then he goes on to ask various questions about the gospel. But Paul did call the creed in 1 Corinthians 15 the gospel. And Jesus and the apostles preached the gospel of the kingdom which is at hand. Paul even said that whoever preached a different gospel is under God's curse. So what is exactly this gospel? Is the saving message not the gospel itself? And do we not preach a different gospel from Paul if we do not include the saving message? Or is the saving message not called the gospel slash good news, but only the creed in 1 Corinthians 15?
This is a terrific question, R.H., and a big controversy erupted after many years after Zane Hodges gave two messages on how to lead a person to Christ. I guess that was, what, 2000? Was that the year?
2000, yeah.
And we published them in our journal, both articles. You can see them at faithalone.org. And in it, he gave this illustration, the famous deserted island illustration, and said a fragment of John's gospel washes up, and it said, Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life, from John 6:47. And he said, if the person believed that, would they be born again? And his answer was yes. Now, he went on in the message, which so many people seem to forget, and said, I consider it essential to preach the cross of Christ to get them to believe John 6:47, right? But he said the bullseye is believing in Jesus for everlasting life.
Yeah, he wanted to be sure not to forget to tell people about Jesus promises everlasting life to everyone who believes
right.
in him.
Yeah. Because he said that's how they come to believe that he who believes in him has eternal life.
Right.
But people said he was preaching a crossless gospel, and this big, there was a whole book, an 800-page book written about
the
crossless gospel.
Yeah, they were confusing that. Zane was recommending people leave out the cross, and they rose again. What Zane was saying was, don't leave out everlasting life.
Right. Zane's point was, there are people who preach 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and never say that you need to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. They would say, if you believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, then you're born again. Even if you believe, you don't get a secure salvation. Even if you don't believe, you get everlasting life that can't be lost. So let's go through these three passages. And by the way, the crossless gospel is very pejorative and very wrong because Hodges didn't preach that. We don't preach that. What we say is the bullseye is not Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The bullseye is the promise of eternal life. So look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And I just did a video on this. If you go to YouTube, Grace Evangelical Society, I did a video about a scholar named N.T. Wright. He has an interesting discussion of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. But could you read that, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4?
Sure. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
And it goes on in verses 5 through 11 to give a series of post-resurrection appearances that prove that Jesus indeed rose from the dead. And then the rest of the chapter is all about two things, Jesus' resurrection and our future resurrection. And in fact, the entire chapter ends with verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain? Because we're going to be resurrected. So I have a video in which I cite N.T. Wright, in which he says that the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:2 is that because Jesus rose from the dead, we're going to rise from the dead. The good news of 1 Corinthians 15 is we are not going to stay in the grave. We're going to rise from the dead, and we're going to live forever in glorified bodies with the Lord Jesus in his kingdom. That's the good news. The good news is not that if we believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that we have everlasting life. The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead, therefore we're going to rise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 is the great resurrection chapter. Now look at verse...
So what you're saying is anytime we see the word gospel, we have to ask ourselves, good news about what? We
exactly.
can't just automatically assume that it's always the good news about how to get eternal life.
All right. And what R.H. is doing is pinpointing three different ways in which the good news is used in the New Testament. And I have a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, and I discuss these different uses. Well, this one is talking about the good news of Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection. Look at verse 2. He says, by which also you are saved. Or actually, this could be translated, you are being saved, because it's a present middle passive. This isn't like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you have been saved.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Paul doesn't say by which you have been saved. He's talking about an ongoing present salvation, which many commentators point out is sanctification. And then notice what he says. If you hold fast the word which I preach to you. Well, you've got to hold fast to Jesus' resurrection in order to continue being saved. There's no other way around it. It's conditional. Mm-hmm. And then he says, unless you believed in vain. And he goes on in verses 17 through 21 to say believing in vain would be if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Our faith is worthless if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 is not the evangelism chapter. It's the resurrection chapter. Paul isn't evangelizing his readers. He isn't reminding them of the saving message here. If you want to do that, go to other texts like 1 Timothy 1:16. I'm an example of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Or Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's nothing in here about having been saved.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice, by the way, that there's nothing even about the blood of Christ or the cross of Christ here? It just said Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
Yeah, it didn't say how he died.
Yeah. If this is all you had, you wouldn't even know this is blood atonement.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even know clearly that this is substitutionary atonement, although that's implied by for our sins. But the point here is this isn't the saving message in terms of everlasting life. This is the sanctifying message. And in fact, I would, when he says, by which also you are saved, I would explain this as being spiritually healthy.
This actually is one passage that cautions us. Whenever we see terms like gospel and saved, we always have to ask, saved from what? Good news about what?
Exactly.
And we can't jump to these assumptions every time. It's always the good news about everlasting life, and it's always salvation from eternal damnation.
And he calls this a creed. Yeah, okay, it's a creed, but the key to it is the resurrection of Jesus. Now let's go to the second one,
okay.
The gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is pretty easy. It's the good news that the kingdom is drawing near. You see this, for example, in Mark 1, 14 and 15, where the Lord and his apostles were preaching the good news the kingdom is drawing near. And he was telling the nation to repent and to believe that the kingdom was drawing near. The gospel of the kingdom is not some different saving message. That's the good news the kingdom has drawn near. And it was a message the apostles preached during the ministry of Jesus, and Jesus preached, And it was also offered again during the early stages of the book of Acts. But it's not the saving message on how a person is born again.
And what is the kingdom here that's being offered?
This is Jesus' kingdom when he's going to have Israel ruling, and he will rule from Israel. And this is after the tribulation. This is the millennial kingdom and the new earth. And by the way, the third one, the different gospel of Galatians 1, 6 through 9, this is the one place where in the New Testament, the term gospel refers to justification by faith alone. In the book of Galatians, the term gospel, it's talking about the fact that a person is justified by faith, not by works of the law. And so the different gospel was the good news of the Judaizers that you're saved by the works of the law, keeping the law of Moses. You see this in Acts 15:1. In order to be saved, a person must be circumcised and they need to keep the law of Moses. That Paul calls a different gospel, and it's a gospel that won't save. But the gospel that Paul preached in Galatia is Galatians 2:16, where three times he says a man is justified by faith in Christ, and three times he says a man is not justified by works of the law. There are some places in the New Testament where the term gospel refers to the saving message, but that's reserved mainly the book of Galatians. There are a few other possible references. But most of the time in the New Testament, the term good news or gospel refers to things like the good news of the birth of John the Baptist, the good news of Jesus' birth. In Revelation 14:6, it actually refers to the good news that God is judging the wicked world and he's overthrowing wickedness. It's called the everlasting gospel. And of course, you've got the good news, 1 Corinthians 15:2, which is Jesus' resurrection, therefore our resurrection. That's N.T. Wright's point. And so the good news is our lives matter. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:58 is there. Our labor is not in vain because we're going to be resurrected. We're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus is going to reward us. So great question, R.H.
If you want to get more information on this, Bob, you have an excellent book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, where you go into detail about the gospel. You also go into detail about saved and salvation.
So yeah, feel free to get that book. And I have free articles at faithalone.org on these issues. But don't just accept this because this is what we're saying. Be a Berean. Search the scripture. I encourage you, do a word study on the word gospel. Look up every use of the word gospel in the New Testament and see what you think. Because I think you'll come to the same conclusion I'm coming to, that gospel doesn't mean saving message. And the only place that gospel refers to justification by faith alone is in Galatians and maybe one or two other passages, which I discuss in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words.
All right, thank you. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, how about the word saved or salvation? What do these terms refer to in the Bible? Please join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.